Greetings, welcome to this episode of our mini-series, How Talent Acquisition Works, An Inside View. I'm Anthony Haynes, I'm Communications Director of FJ Wilson Talent Services. Now, throughout this series, we'll be seeking to shed light on what goes on within a talent agency, with the aim of helping our stakeholders, organisations and individuals to develop a perspective on how to work with a talent agency most effectively. The series explores the talent acquisition process from the perspective of each of the roles involved. So for the most part, the series is arranged by role with an interview for each of the major roles involved in the process. In this episode, we focus on the role of researcher, and I'm delighted to say, to help me do that, I have two colleagues with me who are very experienced working in that role. So let me introduce them. Welcome to Lena Boehner.
Hello. Hi, Anthony.
And welcome to Olga Lupu.
Hi, Anthony. It's good to talk to you today.
Thank you. Thank you both for appearing on our podcast. The first thing I'd like to do is just introduce a role, the role of researcher. So what's it for? Why do we have a role of called researcher? What's the purpose of it?
So the main purpose of my role is to source relevant candidates for vacancies. Now, the range of roles within our remit is quite varied. So we work on specialist roles in professional education, such as qualifications, assessment, policy, and various regulatory positions, but also on more common roles in central business functions, for example, IT, business development, finance.
Yes.
This function is critical to our organization. You know, my role is an important part of the process of delivery to our clients, which most of the time involves, you know, unpuzzling these roles and trying to find the perfect candidate.
Yes. Lena, is that how you see it?
Yes, absolutely. This is the major function of our roles. But in addition to the research, our roles also involve liaising with clients and candidates during the recruitment process, and also contributing to companies' business development.
Absolutely. So thank you. So I think that gives us a clear picture of what the role is for. So I suppose the next obvious question is, what do you actually do when you're being a researcher? What kind of things take up your time? What kind of actions are you performing during the working day?
So when we start working on the role, we usually brief with the client. The client provides us with a detailed brief about the role, about their expectations, about the type of person they are looking for, both experience-wise, but also personality-wise. So having this information, in addition to the job description, we start our research. We search for candidates across various platforms, LinkedIn, Guardian, Indeed, also through Google search. So this is how we approach this.
Thank you. And Olga, much the same for you, or are there other time-consuming aspects?
Yeah, for sure. I just would like to add that after the briefing with our client, we try to draft a very thoughtful approach that we use to try to gauge the interest of these candidates. And we try to use some of the language that the hiring managers are using, because we think that this will attract the most relevant candidates. And, you know, people who connect with that language are usually a good match for the role.
Yes, and I've noticed, I mean, what we've done is play around with that quite a bit, isn't it? And try different sort of structures and different tones to try and gauge what gets the best response out of people.
Yeah, definitely in adverts as well. It's something that we're using.
Yes, I noticed the other day, Olga, I remember you saying that you were working on some roles that were more junior than you normally work on, and you found that you had to sort of craft a different kind of language to attract candidates.
Oh, yeah.
That gives us an insight into what you have to do. Thank you. So what kind of skills does that require? What are the main skills that you find you're employing during your work?
So I believe a very important skill is to have patience and be focused, because this role involves, you know, working on very similar activities for a long period of time. So sometimes we have to spend a couple of hours trying to search candidate for a particular role. And it's just doing that also with pace and accuracy, and just try to be focused and not get distracted by other things that are happening around us. You know, it's easy to get distracted by that team's message or an email that comes up, but we just need to keep focused and also be mindful of the time we're spending on certain activities. And also, you know, it's important to be focused, especially when it comes to switching from one role to completely different role and different client. Again, keeping that focus and being able to move smoothly from one requirement to the other.
Yeah. So you see, to me, it sounds a nightmare because I don't have that skill. I don't have that skill set at all. I'd find the patience for long hours of repetitive searching difficult. And I'd also, if I managed it, I would then find it difficult to switch to working on a completely different role. So
I find this easy because what can be better than putting on your favorite music, you know, and just dive deep into research. I think that's the best part.
Yes, and I suppose you don't have people disturbing you all the time. So
I think that's the benefit of working from home as well.
Yes. Gosh, I think this job would be there will be people around doing this kind of job in an office, and you think, I think that could be pretty taxing. Lena, what kind of skills do you find you're using?
I completely agree with Olga. Patience and being focused is extremely important in this role. Being tenacious, tenacity is a big part of this to me. Some roles are very difficult. Some specialist roles do require a lot of time and approaching a big number of people to get this one person.
So what happens? I mean, you've had a briefing. You've worked out what you think the client's after. You've decided your search strategy. You've worked out the search terms you're going to use. You log on to whatever database you're using, LinkedIn or whatever. You put them all in, and then you can't find any decent candidates. So what do you do then? Do you just think, oh, well, I'll give up there? What happens next?
Oh, no, definitely not. We're trying to find different ways, you know, and different words or sources that we can use to find the candidates that our client is looking for. Obviously, if we are at impasse in some of the cases, we'll try to speak with the client again and try to find what exactly is the issue, why we cannot find the candidates. But most of the times, it's a case of just thinking outside the box and trying to find different ways, different keywords, different organizations that can help us and puzzle that role and maybe give us some insight and what exactly we need to use.
Yes, definitely. At this, when we get to the point where the role seems very difficult to work on from the search perspective, this is when we do need to apply creative thinking and think, like Olga say, outside the box and try to find different solutions. The whole search process is very much based on applying the existing knowledge about the clients, about the sector, about the area that we work in. So this definitely helps as well. We also work very close as a team, so we often discuss the strategies and work on finding the best solution together.
Yeah, I notice that at our team meetings where if someone says, look, I'm having difficulty with this role, someone else will pipe up and say, well, have you thought about this? And that's, you know, sometimes you can't see for looking, can you? You just need someone to come at it from the outside and come up with a fresh suggestion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I think this role impresses me a lot because I think it requires actually quite a rare combination of skills, because on the one hand, you have to have that sort of dogged persistence and tolerance for doing some repetitive tasks and sticking at it. But on the other hand, you've got to have the flexibility and the creativity. And often those two things don't go together very easily. So actually finding someone with the skill balance to do that is not easy. Now, let's talk for a moment, not so much about you and your work, but about the stakeholders that we work with. So our main stakeholders are the employers and the hiring managers on the one hand, and on the other hand, the candidates or the prospective candidates or job seekers or whatever, the individuals on the other hand. Now, I know that sometimes
The stakeholders don't always make things easy for you. But on the other hand, we have some great stakeholders who actually do their bit to make the whole process move smoothly. And I'm wondering, what can stakeholders do to actually support the process and help you so that it all works out properly?
So the brief that we take directly from the hiring manager is very, very important. It gives us the bigger picture, not only the role itself, but also the team, the structure, the culture, because our role is not only to find a person who have a great set of skills and experience, but also who would be a good match to the hiring manager on the personality level, the hiring manager, yes, and their team. So this is very, very important. Mm-hmm. And the brief is also essential for us to share this insight with the candidates as well.
Yes, and we have done a recorded an episode about the importance of the briefing and what needs to be in it. So, well, I'll put the link to that in the show notes. What about you, Olga? What do you find stakeholders can do to help?
Well, speaking of clients and having a brief, as I mentioned before, you know, we use the brief and the language to create an approach and try to attract the relevant candidates. It's very important that the client has a very effective job description as well that clearly outlines, you know, all the skills, qualifications and experience that is needed for the position. And if the job description does not match what we were told in the brief, then there's a discrepancy, you know, between our approach and what the job description says. And obviously that's not a good thing for us, but for the client as well, you know, how the candidates are seeing them as a future employer. So I think that's important. Also, when it comes to working with agencies, especially after one of our candidates was offered the role, it's important that we are kept updated of what is going on in the process until the candidate starts, you know, because we try to make sure the candidates are happy and they have everything they need before they start. It's part of our, you know, service. We try to give the best service possible. So a best practice for clients is obviously to keep the communication going even after the candidate was offered the role.
Yes, I think that's one of the big things I've learned from our managing director, from Fiona Wilson, about working in recruitment is just communicate. And no one ever objects. No one ever says, stop communicating with me. So that's a big thing. I've noticed in briefings that often what we're doing is trying to probe beneath the surface. So it's not at all uncommon for a client to have written a job description, and then in the briefing what we find is there's a slightly different agenda. In other words, what they say they're looking for isn't necessarily quite the decisive things that they are looking for. So I think one of the things you're doing is sort of thinking, well, okay, what do people really want? Really well. So we have episodes recorded on job advertisements and personal specifications, both of them overlap with the theme of job description. So I'll put a link into the show notes for that as well. Thank you. I think you've given us an excellent insight into the role. And I think for anyone that hasn't done this role or anything like it, I think what you've done is enable us to understand sort of what's going on under the bonnet, as it were, when we're searching for candidates. So thank you very much. Thank you, Olga.
Thank you, Anthony.
And thank you, Lena, too. Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast is produced by Dr. Bart Hallmark. The music's by Harry Chalmers, and the podcast is published by FJ Wilson Talent Services. If you'd like to contact us about the services we offer recruitment services, we offer talent development services to help you develop the talent you already have on your staff, and we also offer coaching to help develop individuals. If you'd like to contact us about our services, you're of course very welcome to. And the best way to do that is via our website, which has a very easy URL. It's simply all lowercase, fjwilson.com. That's all one word, fjwilson, fjwilson.com. Hope to hear from you. Thank you for listening.